Pentecost, the birthday of the church, all the believers, the disciples, followers of Jesus gathered in one place. Suddenly, a sound of a roaring wind. They rushed outside, where over a million people were packed into the city of Jerusalem for the religious festival Shavuot, a festival commemorating, among other things, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Peter stood up and preached, and oh, how he preached. "Let it be known," he said, "that the Jesus that you crucified was sent by God and is the Christ." And you can imagine the people were a little disturbed by that. "Well, what can we do? What can we do now?" they asked Peter and the other disciples. "Change your hearts. Change your lives," he said. "Be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, for all the people from far away, as many as God invites." As many as God invites. And about 3,000 people were baptized on that day, that first Pentecost. How awesome is that? Well, I'm not so sure it was awesome for the pastor. The pastor in me starts worrying right away about things like, how did they fill out all those baptismal certificates? Did they spell all the names right? Where did they get the water? Was it fresh? And I don't worry about other things like this because I'm an MCC pastor, but other pastors worry about things like this. What if some of those people baptized that day were divorced? And oh my Lord, that baby had two godparents, both women, and I think they're a couple. That just won't do. And besides, we shouldn't really be baptizing babies anyway, should we? And just sprinkling? Just sprinkling? Will that even count? And I bet you're laughing. Thank you, choir. And I bet you're laughing about these things because you're thinking, the church didn't worry about these things back then. And you're right. But the church has been worrying about those things every day since then. And I have to throw in a little aside here because I was out riding my bicycle when all this sort of came to me. So I stopped and recorded an email that I could send to myself so I wouldn't forget all the things I was thinking, all my ideas. And when I dictated, "But the church has sure been worrying about those things every day since then," the speech to text wrote, "But the church has sure been worrying about those things every day since then." And that's probably a better word. I'll give you an example from my sabbatical. When I began my silent retreat at Genesee Abbey, the first thing that greeted me, because it was a silent retreat, so nobody welcomed me with words, the first thing that greeted me was a sign that was placed right in the middle of my little desk in my little room with my little bed, my little bathroom, my little closet. You get the idea. This sign, which said, "Concerning the reception of Holy Communion, as Catholics, we believe that the celebration of the Eucharist is a sign of the oneness of faith, life, and worship. Regretfully, we have to admit that the body of Christ is divided. We pray that by God's grace and assistance, these difficulties may one day be resolved. Following the discipline of the church, we can only admit Catholics to Holy Communion. We acknowledge how painful it is for some not to be able to receive Holy Communion. All who are not able to receive Holy Communion are encouraged to express their prayerful desire for unity with Christ and with one another. Please feel free to come forward with your arms crossed over your chest and ask for a blessing to recover from all that I've just read." Just sit with that for a moment. friends, I know this sounds like an indictment of the Catholic Church, but it's not. The Catholic Church does not own a monopoly on being church badly. The Baptists are facing their own sex abuse scandal. The Methodists can't wrap their collective heads around the extravagant, unconditional, welcoming love of God. And we in MCC, well, you know. We've been warring about how to be church since that first Pentecost. So if nothing else happens today, hope that during the course of the service, you come to understand Pentecost, the birthday of the church, as one giant possibility. Because every Pentecost, we have the opportunity to create church. Well, we have the opportunity every Sunday. We have the opportunity every day, really, if we just choose to seize it. And that's what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about creating church and about us right here. Because I can't help but draw comparisons between the first band of believers, the ones who gave us the church, and ourselves. Oh, it wasn't the sound of a roaring wind that called us out, but it wasn't far removed either. The powerful voice and exuberant spirit of Reverend Troy Perry called us out. Judy Cowan and Patsy Loera and Phil Smith, David Day, Scotty Shelton, and Ken Martin took up that invitation and kept throwing it out there, heedless of whom might have picked it up. That precious invitation, and brought it trembling to church, very often back to church. After another church said, your invitation is negated by your fill in the blank. That's the kind of reality that motivated Bishop John Shelby Sprong to write what I'm about to read to you about the Christian church. Bishop Sprong said, the church is in a statistical free fall all over the Christian world. The church, as I have known it, he said, is dying. But I also see a new church being born. I prefer to call it the ecclesia, which is a Greek word that means those who are called out. I see the membership of the church of tomorrow to be those who have been called out of tribal identity, out of prejudice, out of gender definitions of superiority and inferiority, and even out of religion. I expect, Bishop Spong said, this new church to grow as the old church dies. I have no further desire to seek to stop the death of yesterday's church. It fulfilled its purpose, but now its day has passed. A new day is dawning, ushering in a new Christian future. That's the church of the future. That's the church that we need to help create. If you're new to our community or visiting for the first time, you might wonder where all this create language is coming from. And I just want to share one more time as we bring this sermon series to a close, some of the details around my recent sabbatical. We applied for a grant from the Lilly Corporation and received $30,000 that covered all the expenses associated with my sabbatical, including all of our guest preachers, compensation for our staff members who took on added responsibilities, and renewal activities like the creativity retreats for the congregation that were held at Sanctuary in the Woods. I want to share one little piece of that application. This is from the rationale section. When we're telling them why it is that the pastor and people need a sabbatical, and I first laid out that beginning in 2009, our congregation took on the challenge of building a new sanctuary. 2009, not 19, 2009. And I shared a few of the delightful things about that. And then I said, during every step of the building process, we've been intentional about building the church, the body of Christ, while building a church. That intention has included things like our all-church study titled Under Construction, offered through small groups that study focused on our mission, vision, bedrock beliefs, and core values. It's been a long haul, and we've overcome incredible challenges together. And then I did a little bit of projecting. We are tired. We are tired. Yet we are also overjoyed and grateful, and find ourselves dreaming all kinds of dreams and creating new programs and ministries. Maybe it's simple adrenaline that is keeping us going after the years-long emotionally and physically challenging building project. Maybe it's the rush that people feel after a crisis or contest. But we prefer to believe it's the Holy Spirit calling us to our new work. And now listen to this, like the life of our church depends on it. We acknowledge that we are entering a new season now, and we want to be rested, renewed, and ready to say yes to all that God calls us to next. We, pastor and people, want to be as intentional about renewing ourselves for creating hope, healing, and spiritual growth as we have been in creating worship and community space. We took our creative selves, made in the image of God who created everything from nothing, we took those selves seriously during sabbatical. And here are just a couple of things coming out of that time. Our congregation is beginning to grow. And here at the beginning of summer with people on vacation and all, you didn't really see it. But we have more young children than ever before. And part of the reality of young families, and many of you remember this and some of you are living it, is all those things that compete with the attention of the family, all those things that need your time and your presence. Everybody can't always make it to church on Sunday morning. So coming out of our sabbatical, one of the things that we are not creating, but we are recreating, is Saturday at 6:24, starting in September of 2019. This idea kind of came from, I guess it came from heaven, and a few people got really serious about it, but there was one thing we were missing. We needed somebody who could really carry that service, someone vocally, someone as a worship leader, maybe a guitar player who could really lead that worship experience. And I talked to a few people, and we certainly have talented people here now, but we couldn't find just the right one and the one who had the availability and opportunity. And then I had a thought. Early in our sabbatical, Stacy and I went to worship with our friends at MCC San Antonio. And a young woman sang the offertory that day, played her guitar, beautiful voice, wonderful presence. And I thought, what the heck? I'm going to call my friend William and see what he says about talking to her. So I called and explained what we were going to do, bringing back the Saturday night service. Would it be all right with you if I talked with her, I said, to see if she had any interest in leading that Saturday night service? He said, absolutely, give her a call. So I did. I'm not going to tell you all of her story. She needs to tell you her story, but I want to tell you my little piece of it. I called and explained what we were going to do and bringing back the Saturday night service, and we were looking for somebody to lead worship, and she just had a beautiful voice, and would she be interested? And she said, 6 weeks ago, I went to God in prayer and said, God, my heart is breaking. I have been a worship leader all of my life, And right now I don't have an opportunity. But I think it's what you want me to do. So if it is, open a door. Her name is Casey, and I hope you'll come to meet her starting in September when we bring back 624. Another thing coming out is an intentional effort for us to help you connect your creativity, your passions, to our mission as a church, our mission of affirming your joy, your journey, and your unique gifts, our mission of connecting you to God and each other and the community, and our mission of creating hope and healing and spiritual growth. So we have created a new brochure. You're gonna see them out in the lobby when you leave. It has a couple things on here that I wanna share with you. On this side is all the activities that our church currently offers. Growth groups and opportunity to bring refreshments and Sunday school and Bible study and all kinds of things. And then it says, when you join your passion with our mission, ministry happens. To help guide you toward opportunities to join us on our mission, we offer these starting places. One, use this side of the mission brochure to help you find opportunities for connecting your passion with our mission. Two, use the other side of the brochure to help you discover your spiritual type and spiritual gifts. This knowledge will help us to determine together which opportunities will be best for affirming your unique gifts and for creating opportunities for spiritual growth. And number three, fill out an I want to know card and drop it in the know box. Our program coordinator, Amanda, will follow up with you to help you find the best ways to join us in our mission. Out there also, you're going to see a box that says in the know on the front. There are some cards on the side of it. On one side, it says, I want to know about, and that's where you let us know, where is it that you would like to connect? What would you like more about? And it has everything from becoming a member to particular ministries to spiritual growth opportunities. On the other side, it says, I want you to know about. And that's where we're hoping you'll tell us about the things that are going on that are important to you. We announce anniversaries and we keep up with some other things, but this will give you a chance to let us know if your family is celebrating a birth or adoption, graduation, if you're in a play, if you're in a sports event, if you're retiring, all the things that you would like us to celebrate with you, you can let us know. Drop it in the box, and then we will be following up with you. Just a few of the things that we're kicking off today to make sure that we are being very intentional about that mission statement. But even as I announce these, I have to admit, though, it takes courage to create. I want you to listen again to a note that I wrote you while I was away on sabbatical. It said, as you read this, I'm beginning my third day on silent retreat at Genesee Abbey in upstate New York. No internet, no phone, no television. Please pray for me. Before I left for this leg of the journey, I was reading Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead, and she shared a stunning, saddening fact about creativity that I had to share with you as we both are taking the time to renew and reconnect with our own creativity. Brené Brown writes, in our research on shame, we found that 85% of the people we interviewed could recall a school incident from their childhood that was so shaming, it changed how they thought of themselves as learners. What makes this worse is that half of those recollections were what I refer to as creativity scars. the research participants could point to a specific incident in which they were told or shown that they weren't good writers, artists, musicians, dancers, or something else creative. And that makes me so sad. Creator of the universe, heal our scars. It takes courage to create. It takes more courage to create church. Peter and the other disciples had to create church or die. They were doing a brand new thing. And imagine the critics. Those fishermen don't have a brain between them, and they stink to high heaven. That Peter guy is a hothead. He doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. And those women, the Marys and the Marthas and those others, we've got a name for women who are smart and focused and effective, and it rhymes with another word. Peter and all those disciples had plenty of shortcomings, yet they created a movement. A movement called church. And the aim of the church was not to create believers. And it wasn't to create Puritans. It was to create disciples. Go into the world, Jesus said, and make disciples. Create disciples. People who are disciplined and following the way. Create disciples. Followers, students of Jesus. We are called to be co-creators with God. We are called to be partners in Christ's ministry of love, peace, justice, and reconciliation. We've got a lot to do, but we're starting in a really good place. Friends, the world premiere of our short film, Welcome to MCC Austin. I'm Reverend Karen Thompson, and on behalf of all of our MCC Austin family, I welcome you to worship. MCC Austin is a Christian church made up of wonderfully diverse people who are trans, gay, straight, young, old, traditional, and edgy. We come from many different backgrounds. We have different opinions. We have different lifestyles. And yet we still share some common bedrock beliefs. We believe in God, the Creator, who is unconditional love. In Jesus Christ, the Word, who is our Redeemer. We believe that the Holy Spirit unites us.
And because it works, we work.
We think that the way we act is the fullest expression of what we believe, and so we've committed ourselves to dismantling racism, to alleviating hunger and homelessness, to creative and compassionate health care and immigration reform, and to justice for the LGBTQ community. One of the many ways that we show that everyone is included and welcomed and celebrated is to offer ASL interpretation at our 11 o'clock service.
This table is set and you are invited. My friends, here at MCC Austin, we celebrate an open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to partake in this celebration.
And we'll rise up. I like the waves. We'll rise up in spite of the age.
If you're looking for an authentic faith community, if you'd like to join others on a spiritual journey, come on over to MCC Austin.
They're accepting of all people, and it's more of an and instead of an other.
It's also brought us together in religion where we used to be separated, because I didn't grow up with religion, mm-hmm. and Wesley did, and he's more traditional, and my perspective is not traditional. But there's a place, like our both of our belief systems are safe here and respected, and we fit.
One of the first things she wanted when we first got together was she wanted to introduce me to her church.
I just love this church. It's really peaceful. It's really kind to everybody.
Worship with us. Learn with us. Grow with us.
You're always welcome here.
It's a great starting place. And when your passion meets our mission, ministry happens, and together we create church. Amen.